Man, I'm glad I don't get justice. I'm glad I'm not going to get justice. I don't know about you, but I know me. You know you. What if we gotta be accountable for it all? Everything you done, what if you're gonna have to be accountable? What if you pay for it? Huh? What if you gotta pay for every idle word? Well, if it don't go nowhere else, just with that. For every idle word, what if you gotta handle all of that? What about every blasphemous word? What about if we just get, I'm gonna make you pay for half your lies. I don't even want half of them. Huh? I'm glad for mercy this morning. I am glad for mercy. All right, everybody all right this morning? And we're going to give you some thoughts. I want you to listen carefully this morning. And I know that the last couple Sundays have not been shouting Sundays. And today will not be no different. And so I want you to know that. But if you'll come back next Sunday, there's hope for next Sunday. So if you want to enjoy everything real good, come back next Sunday. But probably wasn't a good Sunday for you to come this morning. And, cause you probably ain't gonna enjoy much of it today. That's how Rick does his Sunday school, ain't it? He always tells us, now if you really want to come to a good Sunday school, let's come next week. Well, this week ain't gonna be much, but no, we want you to give you some thoughts today. The Lord has dealt with me on many things here lately, several things, or should I say several different aspects of the same thing. My concern for many has increased. The more you talk to someone and they are negative in response, then it heightens the concern. Because you don't know what the Lord's fixing to do. Too many times I have talked with people and it's not much goes on and not even much on my side. You know, just casual conversation. But then there's some that it seems like the Lord opens doors and you speak to someone about their soul, about the eternity, and you are made to feel the urgency of the moment. And I've seen it happen too many times that right after that, then something takes place. Either the real hardening of the heart or they go out into eternity, something changes. We need to be sensitive to the Lord and as He directs us to speak to people about their soul. This morning, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at lost people this morning. I do want to give a great report. Brother Boyd, Boyd will be back this week. He got four more days and he'll be back but he's already been privileged to witness 308 people, as of this morning when he texted me, 308 people have made professions of faith in Jesus Christ. Is that not most wonderful? 308 people, and he's not done yet. And so we thank the Lord. And since August, the one church there, I reckon the St. Will's Church, there's been 28 permanent additions to the church. That is great when the church grows 28 people that are attending. Ain't that a blessing? So that's a great report from Kenya. And that's Brother Boyd's report this morning. Early this morning. So we think of these things. Now, I want to encourage you and let you know that Nicholas County is no different than Kenya. All right. The people in Kenya are no more lost or less lost than the people in Nicholas County. They're just lost. People are lost. You know, when the Lord deals with people, you understand that there's no color variation in the family of God. You know that, don't you? There's no denominational differences in heaven. You know, when you get there, there's not a Baptist section. There's not a Methodist section. You know, there we don't go in and say, okay, where do you want to sit? It ain't like that. Right. And when you get there, it's not say, okay, now we're segregated. You know, we got black over here, yellow over here, black back there. You know, white over here, olive color over here. And no, it's not like that. The Bible says there's neither bond nor free, male nor female, Jew or Greek, when it comes to salvation. There's no difference. There is no difference. Now, we can be, I mean, if you want to be prejudiced and not right with God, that's your business if you want to be that way. But there's no difference in Kenyon people or Nicholas County people. No difference. Now, as far as the people go. Now, is their circumstances different? Yeah, they're harder to reach, you know, because they don't have transportation. And they don't have much food. They live in what we would consider chicken houses and outbuildings. You know, they're hard to reach, you know. But now, of course, our people are hard to reach. They live in brick houses and got 5 cars and throw out more than most countries eat in a meal. You know, what I want you to understand is we make the walls and we make the differences in people. Okay. And I believe the reason is, this is just my personal opinion. All right. This is not Bible. This is Mark Sechrist's opinion. All right. I believe that the reason that they are more people saved in some areas than others, it's not because God's grace is more, His mercy is more, or salvation is more real. It's because people understand that they're lost.
Amen.
See, I believe with all my heart that if you're here today and you're not saved, if you really believed you were lost, that you would be saved today. I believe when you understand you're really lost, you'll come to Christ. I don't believe you'll wait 6 months. I don't believe you'll wait 20 years. I don't believe you'll come to realization that you're without Christ and say, well, I know for a fact I'm lost going to hell, so in 19 years and 6 months I'll probably trust Him. No, it'll be, show me, call someone. I need Him. I need somebody to tell me now. I believe it's the understanding of lostness is the issue. Can I say this? In Kenya, they are preaching and teaching every day. They are traveling, scheduling meetings, going to schools and orphanages and having special church services. That's what they've done this past month. Boyd's preached near 30 times. That's more than once a day. They've been 308 people come to Christ. See, other people, saved people, are making sure that unsaved people know they're lost and there's a need. There's work being done by the saved people to get the unsaved people to come to Christ. Do you understand? Now, I want to say this. When Boyd comes home, things will slow down in Kenya. When Boyd comes home, they won't go every day. They won't preach every day. They'll probably still do it more than we are, but they won't preach every day. They won't have special meetings every week. They'll go back to what is a normalcy, like we do. Church a couple times a week. Talk to someone when it's convenient. Everybody following what I'm saying this morning? Now, the condition ain't changed. The lostness is still there. But what I want you to understand, there's probably not much difference in people in Kenya and people in Nicholas County. Think about that. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, we'll start there this morning. Revelation chapter 20. We'll start at verse 11, give you a few thoughts this morning, and then we'll go get ready for tonight. Revelation chapter 20. Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, I'm so unworthy. I am so unworthy this morning. I have nothing of my own I can offer. All that I have is you. So that makes me rich. I understand that. And that's where my worthiness comes from, is you. It's not my own. Lord, I'm so needy. I need you this morning. I need you to cleanse me. I don't want to be a hindrance to no one. I want to be a help. And I don't want to be a hindrance to you or your Holy Spirit. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I ask you to cleanse me that I might be able to stand here pure, clean, and with power, your Holy Spirit power, that I might preach as you would have me to preach. Lord, I pray that every mind might be attentive this morning, that every ear will hear and listen this morning, and that every heart will be changed under the sound of my voice this morning for your glory. For your glory this morning, not for mine, but for your glory. I pray, oh God, that you might speak to us as a church body, as a church family, every individual here this morning, that we might be about your business every day, not just someday, but every day. And for those among us who may be unsaved this morning, those lost among us, Lord, I'm asking that you would convict them of their sins today. Let them see their lostness. And Lord, I know that you'd save them if they'll come to you. And we're going to thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, and amen. I read a text this morning, and we'll give you some thoughts here. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, they were very sad words. We understand that. Very sad words. And that is the account of the last judgment that will ever be made upon mankind, the last judgment period. That's the last judgment, and it's the judgment of those who are lost. It's judgment for those who are unsaved. And that's where God will finally say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's where it'll finally be done, that men, women, boys, and girls will be cast into the lake of fire, because that is the end result of a Christless life. That's the bottom line. That's the truth. Sunday before last, I preached on hell. Last Sunday, we preached on the seriousness of saying no to God. And this morning, we want to preach on just how lost is the unsaved. Just how lost are the unsaved. And I don't know that we have that down, the seriousness of being lost. Now, you think about this, the seriousness of being lost, the feeling of being lost. Most of us have been saved for a long time, and we have forgotten the feeling of being lost. We've forgotten the shape we were in. We forgot the times of conviction that something was pulling on our heart and we didn't understand. We forgot the damnation that was in our mind and on our heart. We forget that so often, And when we look at others, the only thing we can say is, I don't know why people won't trust the Lord. The same reason you wouldn't trust the Lord before the day you did. That's why they're in the same shape. But lostness brings a feeling that can't be expressed. And you until you remember or have it vivid in your mind about the seriousness of being lost, I don't know that you really can help someone else. Now listen carefully. Now this is true. BB was here. I let him tell the story. But BB, my brother BB, and then Judy Johnson's stepdaddy, LT Jordan. Y'all know LT's been here. He's done with the Lord now. But years ago, they were hunting together. We always hunted together. All the time I growed up, for years, we hunted together. And that day that they were hunting, I wasn't there, but they were hunting. It was foggy, misty rain, foggy, just a good squirrel hunting day. If you ever squirrel hunted, that's a good day to squirrel hunt. Good misty, foggy day, and squirrels stir. And anyway, BB got lost. And he got foggy, and he got turned around in the fog, and he didn't know where he was at. And he just kept hunting, and he looked, and he seen somebody down over the hill, sitting again on a tree, and he looked, and he said, "That's LT." He said, "Man, I'm in good shape now." He got down to where LT was, said, "LT, I'm glad to see you." He said, "Boy, I'm glad to see you too, BB." And BB said, "I'm lost." He said, "I have no clue where we're at." LT had been lost all morning, and BB was lost, and there they sit. And that is exactly the way it is in the world. You got lost everywhere. They're in the same shape, and they're together, and neither one can help the other. That's where people are. And that's who run together. Lost people run together. But they can't help one another. And there's no feeling like being lost. There's the urgency that you need to get out of here, but you don't know where to go. I've heard BB tell the story, him and LT together, and they talked about just how nervous they was. We got to get back, but we don't know which way to go. And if they had listened to the directions of my papa, they would have never got in that shape. Can I tell you, there's people today that if they're lost, if they would listen to the direction of someone that knows, they wouldn't be in that shape. Are you following me? But that's the way lost people are. Now, I want to call your attention to just a couple of truths here this morning when we think about being lost. See, people act as if it's nothing. Lost people act as if it's nothing. Church, it used to be, and we know this, and everybody likes to go back, but this is the truth. When they had revival, the town went to revival. Everything was shut down. Everybody went. Just like everybody went to the ball game, everybody went to the dance hall, then everybody went to the revival. That was how it was. That was just normal stuff. But now everybody goes to the ball game and dance hall, but they leave the church out. Nobody goes to church. Lost people don't attend the church like they used to. You could have a meeting. Everybody looked forward to a revival. Even the community did. Because usually there was going to be a feed sometime. It was going to be food. It was going to be at a pie supper or something. It was going to be something to attract. And everybody wanted to go. Even in my day, younger, more people went to church. So if they don't come, how do they hear? Could I ask you that? If lost people don't come to church, how will they hear about the Lord? What will change that? They're not going to hear about it on the TV. Joel Osteen will tell them that they're okay, that they got a better life now. Joyce Meyer will tell them that they're a God anyway, that they don't have to have God because they're a little God. That's what they believe, but of course that's who the world listens to. Okay, so they're not going to hear nothing on the TV. I don't know why they would want to watch the TV. Okay? Anyway, to try to find some religious help, because they are living as close as people go to church. So when you live as moral as church people do and righteous as church people do, why would you see there needs to be a change in our lives? You know, we're talking about lost this morning. Everybody still with me? Now, you understand that we don't even call them lost. We call them unsaved. We have an unsaved list. We usually don't have a lost list. Do you know what the meaning of the word lost is? It says lost is, now this is right out of the Webster's Dictionary, says mislaid or left in a place unknown or forgotten. They cannot be found as a lost book. Ruined. Now this is lost. They're ruined. Destroyed. Wasted. Squandered. Employed to no good purpose. Forfeited. Think about that. Not able to find the right way or the place intended. Bewildered. Perplexed. Being in a maze, alienated, insensible, hardened beyond sensibility or recovery, lost to all sense of honor, not perceptible to the senses, not visible, shipwrecked or foundered, sunk or destroyed as a ship lost at sea or on the rocks. That's what lost is. That's a pretty desperate situation. When you agree to that, that's lost. Think about that. Not able to find the right, they're not able to find the right way. Think about that. They're ruined. They're destroyed. They're wasted. They're squandered. That's lost. Huh? Think about that. Alienated, insensible, hardened beyond sensibility. That's what lost is. Are people that's lost. But we don't call them that. We call them unsaved. But can I tell you, the Bible don't call them unsaved. Do you know that the word unsaved is not in the Bible at all? The word unsaved is not in the Bible. Alright? Hear me? The word unsaved is not in the Bible. But can I tell you, the words that God uses for the lost is lost or wicked. That's the only terms used for the people that don't have Christ is lost or wicked. Can I tell you? Wicked. Think about that. Our good people, our sons, our daughters, our moms, our dads, our husbands, our wives, our grandparents, our dear friends are not just unsaved, but God says they are lost, they are wicked, they are alienated, They are destroyed already, if you would. They're ruined. They're wasted. They're squandered. They're insensible. They're hardened beyond sensibility. That's what God says that the lost are now. Not going to be. That's what they are now. He says they're wicked. Do you know what wicked means? Evil in principle or practice. Evil. That means every lost person is wicked. And every lost person, their principles are evil. No matter how good they are, how good you think they are, every lost person is wicked. And every lost person is evil in principle or practice, deviating from the divine law. They're addicted to vice, sinful, and immoral. This is a word of comprehension, signification, extending to everything that is contrary to the moral law and both to persons and actions. A wicked man, a wicked deed, wicked ways, wicked lives, wicked heart, wicked designs, wicked works. That's the definition copied straight out of a Webster dictionary about what a wicked person is this morning. And that is our people that are lost. But yet we sit comfortable in a church house and attend church once a week, sometimes not even once a week, and then have our families that are lost and wicked, that's lost, going to hell, without hope, without anything, and it moves nothing upon our heart, moves nothing upon our mind. It makes us do nothing more to get them saved. It causes us not to live better. It causes us not to live closer to God. It does not increase our prayer life. It does not increase our mission giving. It moves us none, hardly at all. And yet we say, boy, I sure would like to see him saved. No, you don't. No, we don't. We say we do, but I don't know that we know what it means. See, the Bible calls them wicked. The Bible calls them lost. The Bible don't call them unsaved. See, unsaved is washing it down. Call them unsaved is mean, well, yeah, but there's such a great person there. They're just not saved. How many times have we said it? You know, they're a great guy. They're just not saved. Right. Have you ever said that? You know, he's a great husband. He's just not saved. No, he's wicked. In practice and principle. Is everybody following me? Right. I just want to make sure you're following me. Think about it. They're not good people. Can I tell you, before you were saved, you were not a good person. Now, you thought you was until the day you realized you was lost. And then you realized you was a wicked sinner and you come to Christ. But before then, well, I ain't too bad. I'm as good as so-and-so. I'm as good as over there as over there. But no, the Bible says we're wicked. That's what the Bible says. I think I'll just stick with what the Bible says. I don't have no choice but to stick with what the Bible says. But now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, and I'm not being disrespectful, but your children that you say are unsaved, they're wicked. And they're lost. And I read to you what's going to take place. That whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's look at some scripture just for a moment this morning, and we'll just get maybe a few thoughts about what God says about the lost and about the wicked. How about in Psalms chapter 9? Psalms chapter 9 and verse 16 and verse 17, it says, "The Lord is known by the judgments which he executeth the wicked. Is snared in the work of his own hands." Huh? The wicked is ensnared by the works of his own hands. His own works, his own, the things he does, wraps the snare around and tightens up. If anybody knows what a snare is, if you ever trapped anything, now I'm not a trapper, but I know what they are. You take an end of like a stainless steel line, a rope of some kind, and tie it to a tree limb or something, and you put a loop in it, and you put the bait there, and when the prey comes in, whatever you're trapping comes in and it goes through that, and when he hits it, it's made in a loop, it runs through itself so it tightens as he pulls, and the more that he tightens, or more that he pulls, the tighter that it gets, until where it won't release itself. It just keeps getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and it has them held captive, and they can't turn loose. And the Bible says that the wicked are ensnared by their own hands, by their own works, and they just hang themselves, you might say, is what they do. They can't get loose of it by themselves. Lost people can't save themselves. They got to have help. They've got to have help. I look on in verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. It ain't just going to be one person, but it's going to be multitudes of people in every nation that's forgotten God, that's going to be turned into hell. That's lost. Listen, saying you're saved and showing no evidence of salvation, that listen, you, just because somebody says they're saved don't mean anything. Me and Dennis was talking this morning. You believe what you want, but when somebody, there's no desire to worship, and there's no desire for the things of God, and there's no desire for the Bible other than to argue, and there's no desire for the fellowship of God's people, then there's something missing in that heart. Amen. Saved people go to church. Now I know that's always a dud when I say that. But can I tell you, saved people go to church. Now, I didn't say they couldn't miss every now and again. That ain't what I'm saying. But when there's no desire, huh? When there's no desire for the things of God, When there's nothing but worldly views and worldly actions and worldly principles, God's not present, I'm sorry. Think about it. How about Psalms 10? Psalms 10 verse 4 says the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. The wicked will not seek after God. Well, if they won't seek after God, how are they going to hear about God? If they're not going to seek after him themselves, don't you allow maybe somebody ought to go help them? Don't you allow that would be the wise thing? Talk to me this morning. How about Romans chapter 3? Romans chapter 3. We're talking about how lost are the unsaved. Well, they're hanging themselves. They're going to be turned into hell. They're not seeking after God. That's pretty lost already, ain't it? All right. How about Romans chapter 3? And we'll start at verse 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's why they don't seek after God, because they don't understand. See? They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Can I tell you, they're guilty before a holy God. But look at it. They don't fear God. In their mouth is nothing but cursing. With no fear of God. And they're nothing but full of deceit. They got poison in their mouth. They're full of bitterness and corruption. That's the condition of a lost person. Think about that. That's how lost an unsaved person is. That don't sound to me like they're in good shape. Think about that. How about back to Psalms 32? Psalms 32 and verse 10. Psalms 32 verse 10. It says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy. They sung about it, tender mercy. Thank God for tender mercy. Huh? Mercy shall compass him about. Says many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Do you understand it? To look in Luke chapter 15. Let's see what we can find. A little bit more better thought maybe even. Luke chapter 15, verse 13. It says, and this is a lost son. It says, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Let me go ahead and ask you, you know he unsaved this morning? That's what we call them. You know he unsaved? Oh, they're good people, but they're wasting everything they have. And you know why they're wasting? Because they're lost. And they're wasting their substance. They're wasting their very life away. Huh? Wasting it away. Wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all. Can I tell you, the lost, the wicked, there's going to come a time when all's gone. When all is gone. There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, and he would have fain had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He says, and when he came to himself, that's when that understanding comes. Then he goes to seek where he needs to be. But not until things are wasted. Do you understand? Many sorrows. The wicked have many sorrows that come. Huh? You say, well, we got a lot of sorrows too. Not like they do. What sorrows did you have before you were saved? Huh? If I was asking you to hold your hand up, how many of you had trouble with the bottle before you got saved? Huh? The Bible says you had many sorrows. You'd wake up and swore somebody beat you. You'd pass out and drink and pass out and swear that somebody beat you. But nobody beat you. Huh? Sorrows. Huh? We got people today that's addicted to the bottle, addicted to the dope and the bottle, and everybody thinks that, well, it's okay to drink a little bit. Let me tell you, in my experience, I've never tasted a drop. I don't know what it tastes like. I don't know what it smelled like. It smelled like a stagnant urinal. That's what it smelled like. I don't know what it tastes like. All right? Let me tell you what I found that it does. I found that it leaves women mistreated. I have found that it leaves children hungry. I have found that it leaves families needing help from parents and grandparents and friends because everything is wasted in the home. I have found that it causes them to become lazy and unable to work. I found that it's took their health, it's took their money, it's took their respect. That's what I found the bottles took away. Amen. That's why I'm such against it. Huh? And I'll always be against it because the Bible's against it. The Bible gives it the drunkard in the list of people who will not see the kingdom of God. Now, I know there's people addicted to things. There's people addicted to chocolate as well as they are liquor and dope. Right. But can I tell you, I don't know of chocolate right. Right. And biscuits and cornbread, corn pone that we're addicted to. I don't know of that has caused the family to lose everything. And I don't know of that to ever break up a home because of a Hershey bar or a cathead biscuit. I don't know of any child that was neglected and left unattended because the parent was eating a biscuit or eating a Reese cup. But there's drugs that's leaving children unattended. They just saw on the news the other day, they found a four-year-old walking on the streets of Huntington, done been scarred and scratched all to pieces. And when they found the parents was passed out from drugs and addictions. Huh? Me and Cheryl heard a commotion on our front porch several years ago. We went out on our front porch and here laid a almost completely naked young girl laying on our porch, laying on our front porch in the middle of the night. She hadn't been eating biscuits and gravy. She'd been raped. She was high out of her mind. Didn't know up from down. Tried to get her in a car to get her some help, and she refused. She walked beside the car, and me and Cheryl took her on out the road to her home. She refused to get in the car, but she knew enough to come where there would be some help, laying on our porch, hardly no clothes on. We covered her up to where we'd get her to the house. Can I tell you, chocolate and biscuits and gravy didn't do that. Are you listening to me? Yeah, their addictions are bad. There's everybody's addicted. That's what everybody tells me. I ain't no different being addicted to coffee. I've never found nobody naked on my porch from drinking coffee. I've never known of anybody getting raped out of their mind and thrown away for dead, from eating Hershey bars and drinking coffee or a soda pop. Don't tell me addictions are the same. I'm telling you that people are wicked and they're lost. That's what I'm telling you. And there's many sorrows that come around. How many have you saw? Huh? We know them, but we don't like to call them what they are. Huh? But that's what the Bible says. Can I tell you three things real quick and we'll go home. How lost is the unsaved? I tell you, they're lost. And why are they lost? Why are they lost and not just unsaved? Because they've lost their focus. They've lost their focus. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Is everybody understanding me this morning? Huh? I was in there this morning early. I came to church early and I was in there looking at the list. I got a lost list. And I was looking down and I got so ashamed. I don't know how many hundred names they are. I was scrolling down looking. And where they got saved, where those on my list that got saved, I put beside, you know, the day they got saved, did I know that they got saved. And you know, there wasn't but a handful that got saved. Well, my handful that got saved was on my list. The list was so large, and I kept asking, oh, wow, I forgot about them. Oh, I wonder where they're at now. Oh, I forgot about them. Forgot about them. Oh, here, saved. That's just a, wow, that's good. Then I go down another 20 or 25 on the list. I scroll up to another page on my computer. I scroll up to another page, and here they are listed, and there's nobody saved on that page. I scroll up to another page. And how many lines on a page? Y'all know, y'all might know. I don't even know how many lines are on a page. But you know, I got them going down, and I scroll up, and then there's a couple of pages that they wasn't nobody saved on. So, oh, my. And I looked, and I see them. Some of them still come to church. Some of them's your people. They're your people. Some of them's my people. They're your people. My family, your family. And they're not unsaved. They're lost. They're lost. And they're wicked. They're not good people. They're lost. They're wicked. Their principles are evil. Their practices are evil. Just like yours was. How godly was you before you got saved? You tell me. You tell me, how godly was you? How nice was you? Huh? Can I get a testimony of just how nice you was before you got saved? Huh? Can I get a testimony of how clean your mouth was before you got saved? Anybody want to give me a testimony?
Yeah, I cussed a lot.
Yeah, but wasn't good though, was it? Are you understanding this morning? Ain't nothing changed since you got saved. Say, preacher, why you preach this? Because people are lost. Because people are wicked. Because they're saying no, like I preached last Sunday. And because they're going to hell, like I preached the Sunday before. And because what this Bible says, they're lost. They're lost. They're lost. Huh? Hear me. Our mind this week has not been on people saying no to God. You know what our mind's been on this week? Let me tell you what's been on the mind of church people this week. Trump and Musk and all the money they're finding. Right. Our mind ain't been on the lost. We're either mad at him or glad about him. That's where our mind's at. Our mind ain't been on those going to hell. Our mind ain't been on our families that's not coming to church. Our mind ain't been on the people that's going out in eternity saying no to God. We're more worried about, all this is going to affect my pocketbook. Groceries are going to be so high we can't afford them. He's going to put all these tariffs on me. I don't know what we're going to do. Gas is going to go out of sight. Next thing you know, he'll cut Social Security. We'll not have no money coming in. All this. And let people go on to hell. They're just unsaved. That's all right. Let's let the lost go to hell and the wicked go to hell. That's where the church is today. Say what you want, but the proof's in the pudding. God help us is all I know. Romans chapter 1 tells you the focus. Hang with me now. Romans chapter 1, start verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. I'm going to read down through 32, Jeremy. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has showed it unto them. For the visible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. People say, I don't believe in God, I think they're liars. Just so, if you tell me you don't believe in God, if you tell me that, I'm going to tell you right now, eyeball, I think you're a liar. Just want you to know that. I don't believe in atheists. You'll get that in a minute. Said, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Tell me man ain't wicked. Which is worse, killing a baby or killing an eagle? Amen. Right. Which is worse today? Huh? Which is worse, letting a city starve or saving that orange salamander that grows in the creek? Huh? I mean, that's where we're at today. Huh? Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up with the vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use and that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. That's your homosexual crowd, your transgender crowd, your asexual, bisexual, all these sexual things. Let me tell you, there's man to woman, and the sex outside of marriage is sin. All right? Sex outside of marriage is sin. Sex in marriage is an honorable thing. Sex outside of marriage is sin. Hey, the whole church ought to amen right there, but we can't because we're fornicators and adulterers. Think about it. I'm reading the Bible. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's someone who has lost all reason and sense to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteous fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Can I tell you? Lost and wicked. Their focus is on self. I read all that to tell you. Everything I read there shows that the lost are only focused on self. Brother Rick said it so good in Sunday school last Sunday, and the Sunday before both. He said it twice. He said, until someone repents of self and sin and receives the Savior. Repents of self and sin and receives the Savior. That's salvation. Repenting of self and sin, receiving the Savior. You're going to have to get over yourself. People are so consumed with self. And that's why all of these sins, that's why we sin, because it felt good. That's why we sinned. It felt good. That's why we did it. If it didn't feel good, we wouldn't have done it. Is that all right?
You're right.
Think about it. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin, but only for a season. All right? So they lose their focus. They lose their focus. Then we see, not only they lose their focus, but then I want you to look to failure. Matthew 21. Hang with me this morning. Don't lose me this morning. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Let me see here. Verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye, what's the next word? Believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him. It's talking about the religious crowd. Can I tell you, everybody thinks they're good enough. They got just enough religion. You know why? Well, my dad was a Christian. I don't know how many people I've talked to. Are you a Christian? My dad was. You go to church? Well, my mama used to. Yeah. Do you know the Lord? Well, Papa did. That ain't what I'm asking. See? Well, I used to go to church, preacher, when I was little. Yeah, but do you know Christ? Well, I used to go to church. But see, they believe not. They believe not. That's the failure. See, when the rich young ruler come to Jesus, there was one thing he was lacking. He was doing everything good, but one thing he lacked, he wasn't following Christ. Can I tell you, that's what matters. You're going to have to follow the Lord. Are we still okay this morning? How about, I noticed that there when we was reading in Sunday school this morning, Psalm 78. And I know y'all's getting tired. I can tell. Psalm 78. Hang with me. We'll have a healing service afterwards and bring all your garters and all your lumbago and there come and we'll have a healing service after that. Did I pick you up any? I'm going to draw bondage as you come. We'll just, somebody catch you. I need a couple big men to catch you. And we're going to take off our coat and knock you out like Benny Hinn. Psalm 78, verse 32. It says, for all this they sin still and believe not for his wondrous work. The failure. Men and women see the things of God. They see the good things. They see what's happened. It don't affect us. Can I tell you, I don't know that it affects us in church much anymore. We see the great things of God and the goodness of God, and it don't affect us much anymore. How easily we forget. How easily we forget. Can I tell you something? And I'm not bragging on me. That ain't what I'm doing. I'm just going to show you. When I get up of a morning, do you know how blessed man I am? You know, I'm not even supposed to be here. But, you know, I can walk and I go out in my building, get a little free time. I'll go out there and my hands work and I'm able to make something. Do you know that I'm not even supposed to use this arm and this leg? Huh? I still have limitations. I do. Man, I'm a blessed man. Huh? I'm a blessed man. Think about it. I've had heart attacks. They do the scans. I finally got a report and I don't know, but about 68% blocked off. That's not bad. I got 40-some percent. I'm in good shape. Huh? Huh? Hardly nothing. Huh? Hardly nothing. Huh? Shouldn't be here. Huh? Are you understanding? I can't get over his wondrous works, but yet so many won't believe and they won't remember his wonderful work. About done. We see the focus and the failure, but then we see their future. And I'm just going to read the last verse of what I read to start with there in Revelation chapter 20. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. See, that's their future. See, they lost their focus and their only failure is they won't trust the Lord. That's their only failure. But their future is the lake of fire. And after I outlined that, I got up. The message changed. This is not what I had on my mind last night. And I got up this morning when I come to church and got to thinking about people. I looked at list I told you about a while ago. I said I need to add one more. Not just the focus and the failure and the future. And I thought about the friends. The friends of the lost or the unsaved. And you may not like this, but this is the truth about us. Back in 1968, I've told you this before, my papa, he was pastor of Cotton Hill Baptist Church over at Beckwith. And while he's pastoring there, him and my uncle was hunting out behind Babcock Park, way back there in the woods, way behind Babcock Park. And he had a heart attack. Unbeknownst to my Uncle Holly, it just passed here last year. And he had a heart attack back there in the woods, and he didn't meet at the truck at dark. Well, he was back here next to the cliffs going down into the gorge and where he had the heart attack and he couldn't walk uphill. He could only, because of the heart attack, he could walk a little bit downhill, but he couldn't walk uphill. And where he was at, he couldn't. So the only thing he could do was go toward the river. Well, my uncle didn't have no clue what happened to him. So all my uncle knew was Papa's lost. So Holly come out of there. And I can remember this. I was just a little boy, but I remember this because I was in the car. Everybody went over to where the restaurant is at Babcock. If y'all have all been to Babcock where the restaurant is there. Everybody, they was hundreds of men. They got hundreds of men, over 200 men, they got to come and look for my papa. Called Daddy. Daddy was working at Candleton in the mines. They called Daddy from the mines. And Daddy come home. I'll never forget being standing up in the back seat of the car, looking out the window, and I see my daddy in the truck. Here he comes sliding. When he come around that curve there where the restaurant is, he was on two wheels. I mean, and that was the way he used to have to go up there to where he was at, where they was looking for Papa. I never had seen blue lights and red lights in my life like that. There was police, firemen, rescue workers. There was ambulance drivers, hundreds of men. They called and everybody come out to find one man, my papa, who was a good man, who was a preacher. And they looked for him all night long. They looked for him all night. My papa or my daddy and my Uncle Johnny, Uncle Johnny Woods, which is Wink's uncle too, back there. Y'all didn't know we was kin. But they got together because they knew about where Papa would be. Couldn't find him. They looked, they hollered, they shined lights, they blowed horns, they blowed whistles. Couldn't find him. But unbeknownst to him, he made it down to the river, down to the tracks there at the old soil camp, walked down 5 miles, to Kenny's Creek, walked 6 miles from Kenny's Creek back up to Winona, and he was in the kitchen when everybody got home the next day. They quit looking for him. And he was done turned gray. Of course, they got him to the hospital and had a massive heart attack. But, you know, just the Lord. I mean, how you walk that many miles after a massive heart attack. But my point in all that, the friends come out to look for him. Now, they didn't worry about supper. They didn't worry about eating. They didn't worry about sleeping. But they went into the wilderness and they looked for my papa. They hollered. They screamed. They cried. They prayed. There was church. There was people praying. People called on the phone. There was people praying to find Preacher Bill. Gotta find Preacher Bill. Everybody gotta find Preacher Bill. 1968. Huh? One man. His friends. Spent hours and hours and hours looking. Looking. You got any friends? Law? Let me ask you tonight, or today, have you went searching? I read in Luke 15 that man had one sheep that was gone, and he went and searched diligently. See where a woman had some coins, and she went and searched diligently. But I'm wondering, you know, we have unsaved. No, we got lost, wicked people. But I wonder if they got any friends. I wonder if they've got any friends. You saved this morning? Are you truly saved? Are you Bible saved? Have you repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received Him? To many has received Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. Have you received Christ as your Savior? If not, you're lost this morning. You're wicked, but Jesus will save you today. But what about our people? Father, speak to others if you've spoken to me. Well, Lord, you just speak as you want to speak to them. But Lord, may we see they're not just unsaved. They're lost. They're wicked. And they need you. I'm so glad that you tell us, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.